Blog Talk Radio.
Options are few. I'm trying to pray, but where are you? I'm all churched out, hurt and abused. I can't say what's left. I'm weak, no strength to fight, no tears to cry, even if I try, but still my soul refuses to die. One touch will change my take me to the King. I don't have much to bring. My heart's torn in pieces. It's my offering. Lay me at the throne. Leave me there alone to gaze upon your glory and sing to you.
Oh, hello, 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 hello. It's 11:35 on a Friday morning. This is Time Out Forums, and I'm your host, George Rovey Jr. I'd like to thank you for coming out and being with me today on this great and wonderful day that the Lord has made. Started off the day great, talking about some actually ushering in the Spirit of the Lord, walking in the mountains of Oregon, seeing the sun rise above the trees, the mist on the ground. That, ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, is the marvels of the glorious wonderfulness of the Lord. And I can't explain to you how worship is when you got that type of scenery in the background. But I just want to thank you all for coming out and listen to me. Today we're going to continue what we picked off yesterday in Leviticus, and we're going to finish this Leviticus up, okay? Right now we are on verse 7.
Presented to the Lord must be cut off from their people. And wherever you live, must not eat blood of any bird or animal. Anyone who eats blood must be cut off from their people. The Lord said to Moses, say to the Israelites, anyone who brings a fellowship offering to the Lord is to bring part of it as their sacrifice to the Lord. With their own hands, they are to present the food offering to the Lord. They are to bring the fat together with the breast and wave the breast before the Lord as a wave offering. Priests shall burn the fat on the altar, but the breast belongs to Aaron and his sons. You are to give the right thigh of your fellowship offerings to the priest as a contribution. The son of Aaron who offers the blood and the fat of the fellowship offering shall have the right thigh as his share. From the fellowship offerings of the Israelites, I have taken the breast that is waved and the thigh that is presented and have given them to Aaron the priest and his sons as their perpetual share from the Israelites. This is the portion of the food offerings presented to the Lord that were allotted to Aaron and his sons on the day they were presented to serve the Lord as priests. On the day they were anointed, the Lord commanded that the Israelites give this to them as their perpetual share for the generations to come. Then are the regulations for the burnt offering, the grain offering, the sin offering, the guilt offering, the ordination offering, and the fellowship offering, which the Lord gave Moses at Mount Sinai in the desert of Sinai on the day he commanded the Israelites to bring their offerings to the Lord. Leviticus 8. The Lord said to Moses, bring Aaron and his sons, their garments, the anointing oil, the bull for the sin offering, the two rams, and the basket containing bread made without yeast, and gather the entire assembly at the entrance to the tent of meeting. Moses did as the Lord commanded him, and he gathered at the entrance to the tent of meeting. Moses said to the assembly, this is what the Lord has commanded to be done. Then Moses brought Aaron and his sons and washed them with water. He put the tunic on Aaron, tied the sash around him, clothed him with the robe, and put the ephod on him. He also fastened the ephod with the decorative waist linen, which he tied around him, placed the breast piece on him, and put the Urim and the Thummim in the breast piece. Then he placed the turban on Aaron's head and set the gold plate, sacred emblem, as the Lord commanded Moses. Then Moses took the anointing oil and anointed the tabernacle and everything in it, and so consecrated them. He sprinkled some of the oil on the altar seven times, anointing the oil and all his utensils and the basin with its stand to consecrate them. He poured some of the anointing oil on Aaron's head and anointed him to consecrate him. Then he brought Aaron's sons forward, put tunics on them, tied sashes around them, and fastened tabs on them as the Lord commanded Moses. He then presented the bull for the sin offering, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands on his head. Moses slaughtered the bull and took some of the blood, and with his finger he put it in all the horns of the altar to purify the altar. He poured out the rest of the blood at the base of the altar, so he consecrated it to make atonement for it. Moses also took all the fat around the internal organs, the long lobe of the liver, and both kidneys and their fat, and burned it on the altar. But the bull, with its hump, and its flesh, and its intestines, he burned up outside the camp, as the Lord commanded Moses. He then presented the ram for the burnt offering, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands on its head. Then Moses slaughtered the ram and splashed the blood against the top of the altar. Cut the ram into pieces, and burned the head, the pieces, and the fat. Washed the internal organs and the legs with water, and burned the whole ram on the altar. It was a burnt offering, a pleasing aroma, a food offering presented to the Lord, as the Lord commanded Moses. He then presented the other ram, the ram for the ordination, and Aaron and his sons laid that on his head. Moses slaughtered the ram and took some of its blood and put it on the lobe of Aaron's right ear, on the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot. Moses also put Aaron's sons forward and put some of the blood on the lobes of their right ears, on the thumbs of their right hands, and on the big toes of their right feet. Then he splashed blood against the sides of the altar. After that he took the fat tail, all the fat around the internal organs, along the lobe of the liver, both kidneys and their fat, and the right thigh. portions and on the right thigh. He put all these in the hands of Aaron and his sons. They waved them before the Lord as a wave offering. And Moses took them from their hands and burned them on the altar on top of the burnt offering as an ordination offering, a pleasing aroma, a food offering presented to the Lord. Moses also took the breast, which was his share of the ordination, and waved it before the Lord as a wave offering, as the Lord commanded Moses. Then Moses took some of the anointing oil and some of the blood from the altar and sprinkled them on Aaron his garments and on his sons their garments. So he consecrated Aaron and his garments and his sons their garments. Moses then said to Aaron and his sons, cook the meat at the entrance to the tent of meeting and eat it there with the bread from the basket of ordination offerings, as I was commanded. Aaron and his sons are to eat it. Then burn up the rest of the meat and the bread. Do not leave the entrance to the tent of meeting for 7 days until the days of your ordination are complete. Your ordination will last 7 days. What has been done today was commanded by the Lord to make atonement for you. Must stay at the entrance to the tent of meeting day and night for 7 days and do what the Lord requires, so you will not die. But that is what I have been commanded. So Aaron and his sons did everything the Lord commanded through Moses.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I just wanted to play those. I wanted to play those because it finishes up what we are getting into has to do with offerings. And the question was I raised in the beginning was, do we still offer offerings unto God? And I would say, yes, we do this. Of course, we know that the Torah, which is the Old Testament, is the old way of giving offerings unto God. That's why we're talking about Leviticus. Before Leviticus, when they were offering sacrifice, it always come from Moses. So I said, okay, I'm going to establish this priesthood. And with this priesthood, Aaron and his sons were the beginning of it, okay? You look at these offerings, okay? What exactly is a burnt offering? A burnt offering, according to BibleStudyTools.com, it is the whole being consumed by fire, and regarding to the ascendance to God while being consumed. Part of every offering was burnt in the sacrifice of fire, but it is the holy burnt, the whole burnt offering. It was the most frequent form of sacrifice and apparently the only one mentioned in the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis. So when we are talking about sacrifices now, as is mentioned in Leviticus 7, that they are these offerings, and they consist of the burnt offering, the grain offering, the sin offering, the guilt offering, the ordainant offering, fellowship offering. And these are the offerings on which God wants his people, the Israelites, to offer him. Now, in some of these I'll go in great detail, and some of these I won't go in great detail. The reason for that being is because we have to do all these things still today. The only difference is because Jesus has come, given his blood for us, we no longer have to give burnt offerings. We no longer have to give grain offerings. We no longer have to give sin offerings. We no longer have to give blood offering, guilt offerings. We no longer have to give ordainment offerings, but we do give fellowship offerings. And I say that very specifically because I want people to understand this fellowship offering. It is definitely a need be. So we're going to go back and we're going to look at offerings in itself. Okay? So I'm going to come up. I'm coming from the website Bible Verses about King James Bible Online.org / Bible Verses about offerings. Okay? And there's these verses, and we're going to be talking about offerings, okay? 2 Corinthians 9:7. Every man according as his purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for the God loves a cheerful giver. John 3:16. For God loves so the world that he has gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Hebrews 13:15. By him, therefore, let us offer a sacrifice of praise to God continuously, that is the fruits of our lips, giving thanks to the name. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slacklessness, but the long-suffering to usward, not willing that anyone shall perish, but have all shall come to repentance. Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, your reasonable service. Romans 6:4. Therefore we are buried with him by the baptism into death, that like as Christ we raise up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also shall walk in newness of life. Leviticus 1:3. In his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd. Let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it to his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. Romans 14:1. Let me back down a little. Okay. We're going to go to Genesis 14:1-24. And it came to pass the day of Amraphel, king of Shinar, Asadar, king of Abishar, Chazar-Rissai, king of Elm, the Tidal king of the nations. And these made war of the Beth king of Sodom and the Beersheba king of Gomorrah, Sheba king of Adama, Simba king of Shaheen, the king of Belial, which is in Zar. All of these joined together to vow against the Sodom, which is the salt sea. 12 years they served Chenomar. On the thirteenth year, they rebelled. In the 14th, they came to Chalazar and the king that were with him and smolted Rahim the Altamite, King Damar, and the Zooming in Ham, and Elaman of the Shai Kutatim, the Hittite, is their Mount Sai unto the Il Panarim, which is in the wilderness. And they returned and came its Mishapheth and Kish and smote all the countries of the Akamites and also the Amorites, that are dwelleth in Hazoroth. And that we went out to Sodom, and the king of Gomorrah, and the king of Adami, and the king of Zahim, and the king of Baal, and the son, and the same in Zar, and joined the battle with them and them. I'm trying to get to the part where they talk about offering. Okay, and so, and verse 18, this is when we start getting into it, right? It says, and Meseledek, the king of Salmon, brought forth bread and wine. He was the priest of the high God. He blessed him and said, bless the Abram of the high God, preserver of the earth, heaven and earth, and be blessed in the most high God that he hath delivered thine enemy in thine hands and have given tithes to all. The king of Sodom and of Abram gave him persons that took goods of themselves. And Abram said unto the king of Sodom, I have lifted up my hands unto the Lord and the most high God, the pursuer of the heavens and earth, that I will not take from a thread even in the shoe, that will not take anything within thine. Let it shall saith, I have been Abram rich, save only in which the young man hath eaten the portions of the men which went with me to Ahur, Shechel, and Mahar. Let them be take their portions. Proverbs 3:9-10. Honor the Lord with thou substance, and with the first fruits of all the increase, so shall thy barn be filled with plenty, and thou shalt burst out of a new vine. Ecclesiastes 1-18, the word of the preacher and the son of David, the king of Jerusalem. Vanity of the vanities, said to the preacher, vanity of the vanities, all is vanity. That the prophet has the man of all of your labors have taken upon the sun. One generation has passed away, and another generation cometh. But the earth abided forever. The sun has arisen, and the sun goeth down, as he has arisen, and the wind goeth towards the south, unto the north, and the whistles about the continuance, and the wind returns again according to the circles. All the rivers run into the seas, yet the sea is not full unto the place where the river cometh. Birds have returned again. All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eyes is not satisfied with seeing, nor is the ears filled with hearing. The things that have been, it is which has been, and that which is done is with shall be done, and there is no thing, new thing under the sun. I love that right there. There is no new thing under the sun. We talked about that yesterday and the day before. Verse 10, is there anything whereof it may be said, seeth it new? It has been already the old time where we have become before us. This is the remembrance of the former things. Neither shall there be any remembrance of the things that cometh of those who shall come after. I, the preacher, was king over Israel and Jerusalem, and I give my heart to seek and search all the wisdom according to things that are done under the heaven. This sort travail have the Lord gone to the sons of man to the exercise therewith. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all its vanity, all its exactions of the spirit, cloaked, could not be made straight, what is crooked cannot be made straight, and what it which you have wanted could not be in number. I commune with my own heart, saying, lo, I am coming to the great establishment. and have gotten more wisdom than all that they have ever have seen before me in Jerusalem. Ye, my heart, have great expectation of wisdom and knowledge, and I give my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceive that this also is a vacation of the Spirit, for in such wisdom is much grief, and he has increased the knowledge and increases the sorrow. Matthew 6:31-33. Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for only Heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need for all things. But seek you first the kingdom of God, and the righteousness of all things shall be added unto you. Matthew 6:19-21. Lay not upon yourself treasures on earth, and the moth and the rot doeth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay upon themselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rot does corrupt, and where the thieves cannot be broken through nor stolen. For where your treasure is, there will be your heart will be also. Mark 12:41-44. And Jesus sat over again the treasures, and behold how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there was a certain poor woman, widow, she threw two mites, which was all she had it. And he called unto his disciples and said to them, verily I say unto you, that this poor widow has cast more in all they have cast in the treasury. For all they do cast in abundance, but she has did cast all in she has had and all her living. I'm going to skip that one. So as you can see, going from the Old Testament to the New Testament, they talk about giving, the offerings. Now, you have to understand the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. When we're talking about the Old Testament, we're talking about the burnt offerings, okay? These burnt offerings that were given unto God had to be a way for them to reverence God in his holiness. You have to understand, when they were doing this, they were doing it in the tabernacle. And there was three stages within the tabernacle. There was the outer court, the inner court, and the holies. The outer court consisted of the bath wash and also consisted of the altar where you burnt stuff. Then outside the camp is where you burnt everything. But only the priest can enter into the courtyard. Only Moses and Aaron can enter into the holies of the holy, or even enter into the holies. So, and they can only enter once a year in the holies of the holies, and that's to repent of not only the priest's sins, but also the sins of the people. So, ladies and gentlemen, when we look at the burnt offering, the grain offering, peace offering, the fellowship offering, the sin offering, the ordained offering, we see all these offerings going up unto God. Now, I said we don't do everything except the fellowship offering, which we still do. There were certain criteria. God was very, see, when God speaks, when the Bible speaks, he speaks very specific. The reason why he speaks very specific is because he wants everything to be perfect in his sight, because he is perfect. So when he specifically told them what to do and how to do it, they had to follow the letter to the T. So when Aaron and his sons were given the portions He specifically told them what portions they could have, what portions to give to them. And so this is where, now listen to me carefully, ladies and gentlemen, this is where you see preachers or ministers or clergymen receive offerings, being paid for the service in which they do. I personally believe, because the Bible says so, that they should be paid. Now, I want to make this specifically clear. This is my interpretation and my own interpretation. This is my opinion right now. I'm about to give you my opinion right now. My opinion is if you are working in the service of the Lord, you should not be getting paid. If you play the piano, you are on a board. If you are doing anything within this, you should be working for the love of God, not being paid for it. We need to get away. That's why the churches, listen, this is why the churches are struggling right now. You can't pay your bills if you're paying out everybody in the church. Everybody got their hands open. You pay your offering. See, God, I just read it. He said when the people started putting their money in the into the treasury, they were putting huge amounts of money into the treasury. But the widow, the poor widow who put in two mites, more, had put in more than any of them. Why? Because she gave from the heart. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is what I'm trying to get you to understand. When you're giving from the heart and you're playing for the Lord, aren't you playing for the Lord? Who are you playing for? Are you playing for the justifications of you're good at playing the piano and you're good at playing the drums? Ladies and gentlemen, we must give a sacrifice of praise from our mouths to the Lord. Let me say this. When we have to give, let me back up. The grain offering, the blood, the grain offering, the burnt offering, the fellowship offering. All those offerings was to be given to God to have an understanding of God. The sin offering is the offering in which Jesus has come and we no longer have to bear. The priest no longer, so let's put in this context today. The preacher does not have to go to God for everybody and say, God, forgive my congregation for my congregation has sinned. He cuts up a bull. They do the ceremony and sacrifice. They don't have to do that. They don't have to do that. No. Jesus has already come and died for our sins. That blood that was spilled on Calvary, on the cross, that is the blood sacrifice that's already been given. So now you've got the sin offering that no longer has to be done because God is there. Now you say, well, George, you said that we have to look at fellowship offering. Yes. It's not about money all the time. But if you want to fellowship with God, you have to be there. It's like having a best friend. You tell your best friend, hey, little girl, we going to meet up. Right, look up, homie. Look, we're going to meet up here at the bar and grill shack or whatever. We're going to have some ribs or we're going to meet up and have coffee. It's the same thing. Are you going to stand that person up? Because God's waiting. God's waiting for you. If God's waiting for you, are you going to stand God up? How often do you spend time with God? Let's look at it this way. Let's look at churchgoers, okay? Let's look at churchgoers. Churchgoers go to church on Wednesday for Bible study. They probably go to church on Friday for some type of service, on service Friday. Then they probably go to church on Sunday for Sunday school, okay? So they're spending time with the Lord, right? You would assume that they're spending time with the Lord. Are they just going through the motions? What happens when they get home? You see, when we talk about this putting on the armor of God, because we talked about putting on this armor of God, you've got the belt of faith. You have the shoes of peace. You have the breastplate of righteousness. You have a salvation, and the word is your sword. So right now, you are armed to the teeth. That's only armor. But do you have battle knowledge? How do you get battle knowledge? You must seek the face of Jesus every day. Why? Because every second of the day, somebody is trying to get on your nerves. Okay, let's put this in context. You just got through walking your morning walk. Beautiful morning. Sunrise, mist on dew on the ground. This is the day that the Lord has made. You made yourself a cup of coffee. You about in the car, listening to Jesus, praise him. As soon as you get out of the car, you stub your toe. Your heel breaks. You pick up your heel, go into your office. First thing you do, Sally, I need you in my office. You like, Jesus, what? I just got in here. Can I just get this? Okay, be obedient. Your spreadsheet wasn't good. What have you been doing all day? Now, let me ask you, is your spirit still the same spirit after that walk you just got? Is that spirit the same spirit that you had when you were in the car? Yes, it's still that same spirit. But now it's going from spirit to flesh. Because now in your flesh, in the worldly flesh, your heel just broke. That's not in the spirit. Your boss just called you in the office for the work you've done in the flesh. Your spreadsheet, what's that have to do with Jesus? But Jesus is still there. Jesus has never left. That's why they said you have to constantly have a hymn on your tongue, a constant praise, ready to praise the Lord at any moment. Because it's times like these where you say to yourself, I need a moment to reflect. And what does that moment to reflect have to do with you and your relationship? That is the fellowship offering that I'm referring to. The fellowship that you spend with God. The fellowship that you work hard on, just like you work hard on your relationship with your children. So when your kids are doing well at school and you tell them, okay, well, I'm going to give you a cell phone if you do this, you are giving them an offering. What are you giving to Jesus? Have you made a promise to Jesus? Have you made a commitment to Jesus? What are you giving him? Jesus, I pray to you right now, if you give me this job, I need a job so bad, Lord, I can't pay my bills, my car is broken down, I don't know where I'm going to feed my kids, I don't know where my next meal is coming from. Jesus, please help me. Jesus gives you what you want. And then what do you do with it? Your offering has to be a sweet savor, smelling aroma unto the Lord. These are specific reasons why God told Aaron and his sons to do that. Now, do you know that Aaron and his two sons, Aaron was saved, but his two sons died. Didn't make it into the promised land. Everything happens for a reason. Ecclesiastes, I believe it's 3:10, said, there is nothing new under the sun. We talked about this on Monday. We talked about this on Tuesday. There is nothing new under the sun. The same thing that happened in the time of Moses and Abraham is the same thing that's going on now. You take the technology out, you put Moses' technology in, You got the same world. Guess who's fighting in the Middle East? The Arabs and the Jews. Okay. Who was Moses fighting? The Canaanites, the Ammonites, Edomites. Who are those people? Okay. So when we're talking about offering, ladies and gentlemen, you have to understand what an offering is. Okay? You can't just go to God any kind of way and say, here's my offering. Because we know in the beginning of the Bible in Genesis, when Cain gave God this sacrifice, it was not pleasing to the Lord. In Leviticus, when you're offering a burnt offering or grain offering or a fellowship offering, you're going to give God the first of your spoils. What does that mean to us? Well, when it's time to pay, say you get a big bonus Social Security check. Say you get a big bonus from your job because it's a Christmas bonus or whatnot. God's supposed to get that top off the top. He ain't talking about pay your bills, then give it to him. Hey, this is what God gave me. The revelation is this. It's not your money in the beginning. It's not your money. Where does the money come from? God. You're just a recipient of what God gives you. Who's your bank account for? Are you still wealthy if your bank account says 00 or -1,000? It's still God's bank. So when you say that you worked hard for this money and it's your money, what happens when you don't have any money? Isn't that a funny question? How can it be your money if you don't have any money? Because it wasn't your money to begin with. So when he says that he wants his first fruits, when they talk about your first fruits, that's what the Lord is referring to. He's not referring to actual fruit. He's talking about the very beginning of whatever you got. So if God says, okay, I want you to offer, this is why the Lord loves people so much, because he gives you an opportunity to prove yourself. And I said it before, and I'll say it again. If you are broke, you have no money, you are cursed. Let me give you the scripture. The scripture says specifically, and we're going to be coming out of let's see, 3. We'll be coming out of Malachi 3. Malachi 3. 3:9. It says, let's go to 8 first. It says, will a mere mortal rob God? Yet ye rob me. But you ask, how can you rob me? In tithes and offerings. This is not a preacher. I'm not a preacher. I am a disciple of the Lord who reads the Bible. I'm not taking anything out of the context. He says, how are you robbing me? This is the question that God is saying to the Israelites. And they said, how are we robbing you, God? God replies, in tithes and offerings. In verse 9, he says, you are under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. me in this, said the Lord Almighty. Wait. Let me back this up, because some of you probably didn't catch what I said. Verse 8 says, this is Malachi 3:8. He said, let me back this up. Let's go to 6. Malachi 3:6 says, I, the Lord, do not change. So you, the disciples of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your ancestors, you have turned away from my decrees and you have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, saith the Lord. But you ask, how are we to return? The Israelites are asking, how can we return, Jesus? He says, will a mere mortal rob God, yet you rob me? So he's saying, why would a mere mortal rob God? And why would you even think about robbing him? But you ask, how do we rob you? And then he replies, in tithes and offerings. Verse 9 says, you are under a curse, the whole nation, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that ye may be put food in my house. This is what how Jesus, listen. Jesus said to them, test me. Test me in this, saith the Lord Almighty. I'm not making this up. This is verse 9, verse 10. He said, test me. Okay. Let's put this on an earthly. Let's put this on an earthly scale. You standing in somebody, and that person does something. And what do you say? If you do that one more time, I'm gonna. Okay. So Jesus is saying, if you do this one more time, I'm going to. I dare you. That's what Jesus is saying. Okay, you think I'm playing, right? You know how you robbing me? You robbing me because you ain't paying your tithes and your offering. We talked about what an offering is. We haven't talked about what tithe is. All right? But Melchizedek talked about tithes. So when you talk about tithing, we're going to talk about that in a second. Specifically saying, you are under a curse. Your whole nation's under a curse. You are robbing me. Bring forth the tithe into the storehouse. And listen, I am not speaking. First of all, I'm telling you this from the very beginning. I'm telling you this from the very beginning. I'm telling you this from the very beginning that I am nowhere near saying to you that I want you to give all your money to the church. I'm not saying that at all. I am not saying that at all. Not even close. But what I am saying is God is telling you in his word, he's going to keep his covenant with you. He even dares you. He triple dogs dare you. He says, test me. Then a verse goes on to say, see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessings where you will not have room enough to store it. I will protect pests from devouring your crops. The vines of your fields will not dry up from your fruit before it is rot, saith the Lord Almighty. Verse 12, then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be divine land, saith the Lord Almighty. Listen. I'm not saying this. This is coming from straight the Bible. The International Version of the Bible. God is saying, test me right now. If you don't think, listen, this is what I want you to do. For everybody who's going to get paid on the first, everybody, if you hear my voice right now, everybody who's going to get paid on the first, if you get paid a little before the first, what I want you to do is I want you to write a check. Don't say, oh, well, my bills, I'm behind in my bills. Jesus said, test me. I want you to be in the flesh right now. I want you to be in the flesh and say, you know what, God, I'm going to test you. He said, test me. Get on your knees and pray. Write that check out. Give it to whatever church. If you don't belong to a church, find a church and write your name on it and put tithe on it. Your 10%. Give it to the pastor. Don't give it to the deacon. Don't tell the pastor. Here you go. My tithe and my offering. I don't belong to the church, but I heard this man of God say to you, say to me, listen, God told me to give them the top percent, 10% of my tithe. Give it to him. Test God. Test God and see. Test God and see if you're going to get your blessing. Yeah. Don't even think about, oh, my bills are going to be paid, they're not going to be paid and all this stuff. Because he said, you know how you say, well, you know, the Joneses are doing this and the Joneses have this and the Joneses have, but you see, if you know Jesus as well as I know Jesus, he just, listen, this is, for me right now, this is what I'm riding on right here until he tells me to move. He said, test me. See, I've already tested Jesus a long time ago. Already, my cup is overflowing. Hey, I don't have to worry about stuff like that because I know it's real. I know it's real. But you have to understand. You've got to, listen, give with the earnest heart. Don't be like, well, my bills are not going to be. Have faith. Have faith. He said, listen, all you got to do is have faith in the mustard seed. I'm not telling you to give all your money. That's not what I said. I said you need to give an offering. You need to give your tithes to the Lord. Because Jesus said, test me. Did he or did he not? Let me post this on my Facebook because, and my tweet, because I want y'all to really get this. I'm going to drive this home because somebody out there right now is looking for a blessing. They want to know why they're in the situation that they're in. Ladies and gentlemen, it's already given to you. It's given to you. You have really got to understand who Jesus is. He says there's nothing new under the sun. As a matter of fact, in the same chapter, he says, listen, verse 6 says, I the Lord do not change. Listen, he said, listen, I do not change. I am still the same God. So you know that the descendants of Jacob are not destroyed. Ladies and gentlemen, you just don't know how powerful that message is. I don't change. When you looking for something, guess who's right there? The Lord. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He is standing strong, waiting for you to drop down on your knees. See, I just don't understand how things are going for people, and they act like there is no solution. Do you not know there is a solution? I've already given you a solution. So, let's go to this thing called tithe. This is also coming from the Bible Study Tools, saying that tithe is the tenth of the product of the earth consumption and set apart for a special purpose that is dedicated of whom Jehovah has set a Levite's place over the tithe to bring it into the temple. This is the second Chronicles 35:9. Arises, this word is found in Matthew 23:23. It is planted, commonly known by mint. It's also a sweet save or offering. Okay? And let me tell you who Melchizedek is, right? Melchizedek the king of righteousness, the king of Solomon, of Salem, we have known. I've read the scripture too. We have known him in the recovery of in the recording in Genesis 18-21, which I'll read for you again. It says, Melchizedek, the king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God, high, most high, and he blessed Abraham, saying, blessed be Abraham, thy God, most high, creature of the heavens and earth, and blessed God, high almighty, who have delivered thine enemies into your hand. Then Abram gave him a tenth of Abraham, of everything. This is where it comes from. So Abraham knew that he got blessed by the Lord. Huh? Abraham says, Jesus, you just blessed me. You blessed me, Jesus. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. So what I'm going to do, because I love you, Lord God, I'm going to give you a tenth of everything. And so from that point on, it was given. So when we start talking about righteousness and trying to understand where tithes come from, where offerings come from, what's a fellowship offering? What's a peace offering? Go back and look at Leviticus. These offerings, ladies and gentlemen, like I said, they still exist, but we no longer have to put things on the altar because Jesus has already come back and he destroyed the veil. There's no need for the tabernacle. There's no need for the Ark of the Covenant. There's no need for the cups. There's no need for the lamps. There's no need for none of that stuff is important no more because Jesus has come and he was the sacrificial lamb. So he was the male piercing aside the blood that was spilled on Mount Calvary was for us, for our sins. And so now we don't have to give a burnt offering. We don't have to give a grain offering. We don't have to give these offerings that we normally know that we give. So what do you do now, George? What do we do? I've given you scriptures for you to go back and look. I have given you. Let me Deuteronomy. Let me give you this one. Deuteronomy 14:28-29. At the end of the 3 years, thou shalt bring forth all the tithes in thine increase of the same year, thou shalt lay it upon within thy gates. And the Levite, because he hath no part nor inheritance in thee, and the stranger and the fatherless and the widows which are within the gates shall come, shall eat and be satisfied that the Lord thy God might bless thee in the work of thine hands which thou doest. Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that ye present your body as a living sacrifice and a holy acceptance unto God, which is a reasonable servant. Once again, it's not always about money. It's not always about objects. But Paul says, let your body be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable servant. Acts 20:35 says, I have seen ye all things, have that ye have labored ye all to support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Mark 7:9-13. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandments of God, that ye may keep your own traditions. These are the traditions of the old Israelites, the oxidated Jews right now, who believe that Jesus is not the Messiah, who believe that he was a messenger. Verse 10 says, for Moses said, honor thou father and thy mother, and whoever curses thy father and thy mother, let him die the death. But ye said, if a man shall say to his father or his mother, it is carven, that is to say a gift, that whoever soweth he might be profit by him, he shall be free. And ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father and his mother, making the word of God not effect through your traditions, which ye have delivered, and many such like these things ye. So I want to read this one more time, because I want you to get this one. 2 Corinthians 9:7. Every man according as to the purpose in his heart. So let him give, not grudgingly, or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Numbers 18:21. And behold, I have given the children of the Levites all the tenth Israel for an inheritance. For this servant in which they serve, even the servants of the tabernacle of the congregation. You say, George, what does that mean? Let me explain this to you. Because the Levites have not inherited the steel. Let me, because I know people are going to be like, that's not what it says. That's not what it is. Okay. I should go to Revelation. I can't think of it off the top of my head. I was looking at it last night too. I think it's like 12. And the reason why I'm taking my time to say this, and because I want you to see this specifically what the Bible says. I'm not making this stuff up, ladies and gentlemen. This is not coming from me. This is coming from the Spirit. All right? And there's a difference between coming from me and coming from the Spirit. I'm giving you straight scriptures. It may seem like I'm rambling, but if you go back and you listen to what the Word prophetically said, you will understand what I'm referring to. And I would ask any preacher, any minister, any deacon out there to talk to me about these things and what it says. But, you know, because the reality is this is the Bible. And everybody has different points of view of what the Bible says or interpretations of what the Bible says. But let me say this to be specific. The Word is the Word. I am currently trying to I'm currently trying to find the 144,000. That's maybe what I should put in search engine. And this is coming out of Revelation 7. The people who will receive the seal, ladies and gentlemen, I don't want you to get this twisted or confused in any form or fashion. Revelation 7 says, after this, I saw four angels standing on the corner of the earth, holding back the four winds of the earth to prevent any winds from blowing on the land or on the sea of any tree. Then I saw another angel coming up from the east, having the seal of the living God. He called out in a loud voice to the four angels who have been given power to harm the land and the sea. Do not harm the land or the sea or the trees under which put a seal on the foreheads of the servants of God. Then I had heard the number of those with the seal was 1,144,000. 144,000 from all the tribes of Israel. Okay, so now that we understand this, if you are not a Hebrew, if you are not an Israelite, you are not part of the 144,000. They said from the tribe of Judah, 12,000 was sealed. From the tribe of Reuben, 12 was sealed. From the tribe of Gad, 12,000 was sealed. Excuse me, from the tribe of Asher, 12 was sealed. 12,000 was sealed. It's 12,000. Messiah, 12,000. Simon, 12,000. Levi, 12,000. Ishra, 12,000. Tavernia, 12,000. Joseph, 12,000. And Benjamin, 12,000. So as you see, the seal has been given. They have been given. And so, I'm George Beverly. This is Sign Off Forums. Thank you for tuning in. Next time I hear you, you should be signing off.